I think the big focus up here is around human connection still. Post-pandemic, people want to talk to a human about a trip, but AI is helping more systematically and streamlining that. So those that aren't implementing it in a way that's going to fast-track things within their business may get slightly left behind as well. But I think out of this market, around pre-pandemic, it was around 70% of bookings were from non-direct channels. That includes OTA. So that shows you the importance. As much as you're spending money on a Google AdWords to try and get that direct consumer and not have to pay that commission, you just need to look at what is that model that allows you to get that direct business, but also understand that there's a huge opportunity to work with the traditional sales channels, and they're not going to change overnight.
And welcome back to another episode of the Tourism Chat Show. And today we have another Trends Unpacked episode for you. Yes, we are heading to North America to talk to Tourism New Zealand. So stay tuned to hear what tips Hayden is going to share with you, because boy, he's got some bangers in there. And if you are wanting to crack the North American market, it's really important that you listen to this episode. Get your pen and paper out and write down some notes of what he suggests you do. Now, we're coming to the end of our Trends Unpacked episodes, but we do have an extra episode this week. On Friday, we are bringing you a very special interview with Tourism Industry Aotearoa Chief Executive Rebecca Ingram, and I'm hoping that she might share some of the surprises that we're going to experience in Wellington. Don't know how lucky I'm going to be to get some of those out of her, but hey, we're going to try and do our best. And Rebecca's always a great person to chat to about everything tourism and obviously what TIA has been up to. And of course, the focus on trends. So stay tuned, enjoy this episode. Don't forget to come over to our Instagram at the Tourism Chat Show. You'll get to have a look at what we're talking about over there as well. Follow us, hit the subscribe button, and if you love this episode, leave us a 5-star review. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you again on Friday. Ka kite. Today we have a very special guest from North America. Hayden Fitzpatrick from Tourism New Zealand is joining us. Kia ora, Hayden.
Kia ora, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. And look, before we kick off, you've just gone and got married. Tell us a little bit about your day.
Oh, I didn't know that was going to be public knowledge. It's been a little while in the making. And that happened, yes, last Friday after 14 years and a couple of false starts due to the pandemic. We did get some friends and family together here in Southern California for a good party and a good get together and formalize a few things and put a ring on the finger and all of that. So it was very exciting. A lot of logistics, as you can appreciate, but nice to have it all formalized now, which was great.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. And as you say, it has taken you a while, but you got there in the end. A little bit like this podcast. Now, we started talking at Trends last year about the possibility of running an episode like this to talk about specifically the US market and the distribution system up there and how that might differ from other markets. Can you tell me a little bit about why you thought there was an opportunity to do this education piece?
Yeah, I think it's good to take a step back before we start. And yeah, you and I had a great catch up, as we always do, and got slightly sidetracked. This tends to happen. And I think what we're talking about is, yeah, how was the recovery going at that time? And how were my other appointments? And I think what I highlighted to you was that there just seemed to be a little bit of a knowledge gap in the industry at Trends. With no offense to anyone, there was a lot of new faces there or new people representing new product, or some that maybe had some time off and gone into operational roles and had just maybe either forgotten or never been fully educated on how the distribution channel works out of our market. So I think you and I said, hey, well, you've got a great platform here for us to jump on, have a bit of a casual chat, help them feel more informed going into this year and make sure that it's a better opportunity for both parties.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'm really excited to dig into this because there's obviously a lot to know. And we are doing this series on Trends Unpacked discussions, and US markets bounced back incredibly well. There's a lot of demand out of the US for New Zealand. And I guess there's a lot of interest from operators in meeting with the US buyers at Trends. So what do you think's driving some of that demand at the moment for New Zealand?
Yeah, we're really fortunate with the airline connectivity. It's a huge piece out of this market. The ease of getting down to New Zealand and then the platform it gives us to tell the New Zealand story. Every new airline and every new gateway that invests in coming to New Zealand is a new opportunity for us. And we've seen that more than ever. I think it bounced back faster than any of us could have predicted. And I think the stats around 60% more capacity than pre-pandemic, and having Wow. those large American carriers such as Delta and United and others, and then new gateways out of New York and into Christchurch and out of Dallas. These are all amazing opportunities for us. And it's just given us a real soapbox to stand on with travel trade and with consumers to remind them about those, we'll address those barriers to New Zealand about how easy it is to get down. And the reality is that it has never been easier thanks to that new connectivity.
Yeah. And how has your role, and when I say you, I mean collectively for Tourism New Zealand and North America, has it changed what you're doing up in the market dramatically because of that growth in air connectivity?
Yeah, I think as I touched on, it's just given us more opportunities for partnership. Mm-hmm. With the new connectivity comes new opportunities to get new partners down to trends. There's global tour operators that had never looked at New Zealand, but they start looking where those airlines are selling and what they're doing. And then they start working with us to say, what is the opportunity? They have access, like everyone does, to our data to make some really informed decisions, and then can come down, build out the product, see what a beautiful part of the world it is. And same with the just geographically. If we're having a flight into New York, I think Chicago was a great example pre-pandemic, not a great one now because of some of the maintenance that's happening along the way. But yeah. I think there was a lot of talk then that that might have been a gateway that brought our travelers from the Northeast more easily down to our part of the world. And I think when we looked back, we could see that actually we put a gateway into Illinois. And if you were shoveling your roof of snow at that time of year, jumping on a flight from ORD direct into AKL seemed like a pretty achievable option that was pretty appealing to many North Americans. And now we've seen that as these other gateways have opened up, and it's really given us a platform to work with travel trade, with our paid media, with consumer media, and really excite the North American market about the opportunities that New Zealand does offer.
Yeah, awesome. And you mentioned bringing new operators down to trends. Who are we going to see at Trends this year from North America? And do you have any intel on what they're specifically looking for while they're in New Zealand?
Yeah, it's very wide ranging. And that's the nice thing about Trends, is a huge breadth. This year, I think we've got about 30 partners coming down from North America. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing to note, I think, just as we're on this, just about the sales channels and some of those shifts, some of those big traditionally North American visible partners that suppliers have felt like they've had to come and see here in North America, now because of the scale of business that they're doing into our part of the world, either have operational offices in Auckland or across in Sydney. And so although they are a North American buyer, their geographic location may not be as traditional as it has been previously. When I say that with 30 partners, there's everything that we've got. New partners coming down with more kind of special interest focus, yeah. like focuses. Then we've got those large educational groups. And then we've got traditional tour operators and wholesalers who have long-term established relationships into New Zealand. And then we have new partners who are selling the world, have seen the opportunity for New Zealand, and are coming down here to either try and find a DMC partner or a direct relationship and build out their New Zealand business as we go into our next summer. So a huge array. And I think that's the most exciting part, and probably lead to some of our future answers around how does our New Zealand supplier who sits down with one of these guys without that full background actually address that and make the most of that conversation.
Look, you're taking over my job here, Hayden, because
I apologize.
That's basically my next question. So how do you suggest, like, what are some of the differences in the North American distribution channel? How do you get cut through with the operators when they're sitting in front of you? What are your tips? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, and if I can divide the question in two a little bit, the channel up here is very fragmented. Those that are close to it are aware. There's a whole piece around the retail travel advisor. Then within that, there's consortia, and then there's preferred partnerships. Then there's wholesalers, tour operators, and DMCs. And without putting an actual physical distribution channel on the screen, it's a little bit challenging to talk to. I think if we bring it back, the most important thing to note for all of our suppliers that are attending Trends is just that criteria around Trends. Trends is isn't for the retail travel advisor. If I'm little Hayden here working from home and I'm Hayden from Hayden's Travels, I'm not on the invite list for Trends. Mm-hmm. Trends is for our tour operators, our wholesalers, those looking to contract, those looking to work with our large DMC partners to bring large scale business into New Zealand. And so that's a great start point, because I think there's been a few that slipped through the gaps or got grandfathered in previous years that have created confusion because they haven't necessarily fit that model. We've been rather strict this year in ensuring that we're getting the right quality that do fit that criteria so that those conversations can all be on that same level. So best way to start, if you don't know, ask. How do your clients turn up to me? How are they going to show up to my business? How do you book New Zealand? That's not going to offend anyone. In fact, that's a great way for them to understand your business and how you guys can partner in the future.
Yeah, it absolutely is, because we always tell everybody to make sure that they've read the bios online and on the Trends Connect platform of the people that they're meeting with. But sometimes that information isn't there in that bio. It talks more about, you know, the type of business that they do, whether it's special interest or the type of customer that they bring in, but not necessarily how they're wanting to partner with us here in New Zealand, right?
Yeah, and it's a good, like I said, it shouldn't feel like a failed appointment if you haven't got through your 15 slides and your allocated amount of time. It should feel like one if you walk away from the appointment not understanding if you have an opportunity to partner or how they can grow their business with you. It should just be a touch point of equal kind of conversation where they go away feeling like, I know enough about that product that I want to book it, but they actually understand the model well enough to know how to work with us and make it really easy for us to sell that product as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in 15 minutes, you're never, ever going to sign a contract, right? So it is just about that learning about each other, working out where the opportunities are, building a little bit of a rapport in a very short period of time. So when you do your follow-up later on, you'll hopefully be a bit memorable to that buyer.
You do say that. There's a few sneaky New Zealand salespeople that are pretty good at getting a signature on the line and the amount of that appointment and popping a bottle at the end of the day to celebrate doing so. But it shouldn't be the norm, right? Especially if you're a new operator or new to selling the region or it's a new partner, you should be looking at what is the longevity of that relationship. Is there not, you're not going to be the right fit for everyone. And you can't walk away from an appointment feeling offended by that. You have, some of these people have 30-year established plus relationships with the tour operator. Just because you're the bright new shiny thing doesn't mean you're going to get that business, but they need to know that you're there because there may be overflow business or other parts of their business that are a better fit for you.
Yeah, exactly. Or new itineraries that pop up or something different that says, hey, I'm going to give somebody else a go. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Sometimes it takes time to make changes in those itineraries. So yeah, and those contracts, yes, I do understand they take place, but it's not generally the first time you've met someone. They're the long established guys who've probably been working for quite some time to say, right, let's while we're together at Trends, we'll sign that document, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, cool. So what are some of the more unique challenges that you've encountered in marketing New Zealand to the North American market?
It's not unique, but like our other long haul markets, the biggest challenge is addressing barriers. Right? Or myth busting of distance. And that's particularly true. I was just at a sales trip in the East in Boston a couple of weeks ago, and just seeing the knowledge gap that the consumer and the trade have here as you make your way further east. Those here on the West Coast, it's kind of low hanging fruit to be able to sell and position the South Pacific the same way it is for the East Coast to sell Europe. So the biggest thing we're often addressing, particularly when it comes to trade training, whether that be to wholesale teams, sales teams, or the retail travel advisor, is just addressing those barriers of how easy it is to get here, how there to New Zealand, how easy it is to get around, what can they expect, how long does it take? You'll see with our new campaign addressing some of the knowledge gaps around seasonality and that we have opposite seasons and what that looks and feels like in New Zealand as well. So we spend a lot of our time in the educational space with the travel trade, just addressing those really simple things and giving them tools to be able to get past those barriers to make it an easy and appealing sell.
And I would imagine that, like, North America, when we look at the United States, it's a massive country, right? It's like multiple countries within one country. So you talk about barriers of seasonality and what winter might look like here. It's a very different conversation, I would imagine, to somebody who's sitting in California versus somebody who's sitting up in Washington, you know, Seattle, for example, because their winters are completely different.
So how
how do you get around that?
Yeah, and we're trying to address that. Yeah, we just had our current sun and then some campaign that kind of talked to that as well. Like the same for true for our winter versus their summer. If you're in Arizona and it's 110 Fahrenheit, so 40 degrees, it might sound really appealing to be down in 17 or 20 in some parts of New Zealand at that time of year. And so, yeah, you have to be really regionally focused. You have to rely on your partners and having those partners that are coming to Trends, they're often the middleman between the retail travel advisor that we're working with really regularly. They have a confidence and a sales channel with those Trends attendees, wholesalers, tour operators, et cetera, to be able to communicate that on our behalf. And that's why I think having Trends in May is so perfect. We remind all of these travel sellers that are coming down and traveling the country and exploring the Greater Wellington region what a beautiful time it is to be there and how many less crowds there are, and they're still easy to get around and the majority of product are open. And what better way to address that than firsthand and bring them back as advocates?
Yeah, exactly. And have you had much of a take up of pre and post famils out of the North American buyers that are coming down? Do you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen the final numbers, but it was just really reassuring this year to see the way regions partnered together and how early we got that information out. The big challenge for us with Trends often is it is bookended by FTE in Fiji and ATE in Australia. Mm-hmm. And so those product managers who look after the South Pacific, for example, or can't split that role, are finding it hard to chat, like, yeah, how are they going to distribute their time? And so by us having our fans and our opportunity out there nice and early meant that we could get our unfair share of those who are maybe going to go and spend an extended period in one of those competitors on either side. So I love seeing that. I love seeing the stuff New Zealand Māori Tourism put together with kind of culturally focused fans as well. And that, yeah, people weren't naive to think, hey, they're just going to come to my region and do my region. Why don't we find a commonality and split them between regions? And then additionally to that, without the RTOs feeling and left out, was that some of them do have really strong sales channels. And so they are leaning on their DMC partners in New Zealand to showcase something new that will excite future itineraries as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we sort of step back a little bit and talk a little bit more about the distribution channels, what's the best way for a New Zealand supplier to engage and sort of, I guess, connect with the North American travel sellers?
Yeah, and once again, it depends on the product, but understand where your business is coming from is the first one. I think the biggest thing that we've seen recently, and even talking at Trends last year, everyone was so excited to tell me they looked at their demographics and X percentage were out of North America, and it's a huge percentage of growth. So their first thought is buy an expensive ticket to America. Don't look at when to come. Turn up, go door knocking and hope that that works for you. And as much as it has some function. We love having partners in market, and we've seen regions and non-competing product come up and do a great job of opening doors. The fragmented market post-pandemic means that these brick and mortar businesses that were there traditionally, you could go to four places and know they were your four biggest tour operators, knock on the door, tick it all off and feel like you've done a great trip. They just don't exist anymore. So what we're seeing is the movement away from brick and mortar, both for wholesale tour operator and more retail advisors who maybe were on Main Street and now an independent contractor working from home. So our ability to get in front of them face to face is more challenging. So the use of technology means that we can get in front of them. It's use Trends as a platform to ask how you can support their business. If these guys are working with the retail advisors via a consortia, how can you get in front of them, or how can you make it simple for them? But there's no easy one-stop answer because of that fragmentation. But technology is key. You can potentially sit at home as we are now and reach just as many people as you could on a 14-day sales trip to the US just by being really tactical and knowing who to reach out to.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good advice, because it's also not, as you mentioned, the expensive tickets, but just traveling around has got a lot more expensive. And some of the time it makes my eyes water when I listen to some of the sales managers that have been up in the US market and the dollars that they've spent. And that's all a lot easier for the larger businesses, but for owner operator businesses, it's just a little bit out of their reach. But it's great to know that there are other opportunities for them that they don't miss out. And even partnering with, you know, like-minded businesses in their region or around the North Island, for example, they could do that together as well, because we're able to do that now with technology, right?
Yeah, so lean on your RTOs. We have a great relationship through our partnerships team in New Zealand with those guys. We just had the big RTO in Z. We're going to them, what's new in market. They can only communicate what they know. Yep. And so if we, like when we're talking to trade partners that we work with all the time, they want to know what's new, right? So if you're not communicating that and it stops, that doesn't give us a platform to tell it. But if you're making it really simple, really clear, giving those tools and resources, then we can do that on your behalf. Secondarily, we've got our trade content team in Auckland. So they're always helping us put together specific thematic webinar content or newsletter content. So piggyback off that, use that as an easy way to use our relationships to grow your business.
That's a really good point, actually, because I was in Australia a couple of weeks ago and caught up with the TNZ team there, and they reinforced the same thing to say they've got a central point of contact for all of us to send our what's new, what's happening, you know, people have moved in different roles, all of that sort of thing. And then they distribute it out to all of your international offices is the way I understood that. So, which is great for us to know that that resource is available and we should lean on that as operators.
Yeah, our team in Auckland are sending us like a monthly, or even if it's a special bigger announcement, monthly update where we can go through by region, by product, by resource, any trade trainings they've had, any resources that have been sent to them, any newsletter list they're on. They've kind of compiled that in a succinct way where we can catch little tidbits and use it where it makes sense in our markets.
Yeah, awesome. And are there any trends or emerging shifts that are starting to occur that you're keeping your eye on? How do you anticipate some of that might impact the industry?
Yeah, it's hard to see. It all happens pretty quickly. Like, I think everything was fast-tracked during post-pandemic, thanks to technology. We saw a lot of acquisition. We saw large companies coming in and buying multiple retail agencies. Some examples of that, JP Morgan Chase, which is a giant financial institution, comes in and buys the likes of Frosch, which is the biggest business and retail agency and owns like Valerie Wilson, et cetera. And then underneath that has a big plan. So, and the reason for that is it gives scale, it gives technology, etc. Every time I go to a lot of events, obviously, with the TNZ flag, and a lot of the conversations that they're currently having are around AI and how can we use AI, generative AI, and not to the point it's going to take people's jobs. I think the big focus up here is around human connection still. Post-pandemic, people want to talk to a human about a trip. But AI is helping more systematically and streamlining that. So those that aren't implementing it in a way that's going to fast track things within their business may get slightly left behind as well. But I think out of this market, it's around pre-pandemic, it was around 70% of bookings were from non-direct channels. That includes OTAs. So that shows you the importance. As much as you're spending money on a Google AdWords to try and get that direct consumer and not have to pay that commission, you just need to look at what is that model that allows you to get that direct business, but also understand that there's a huge opportunity to work with the traditional sales channels, and they're not going to change overnight.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You just touched on AI there, and it's a little bit off topic, but I'm really interested in this and how the travel industry is going to embrace it and some of the ways they can use it. Are you aware of any really good examples that are happening at the moment in North America?
Each business kind of has their own ones. We've had a lot of panels where people have talked to it. I'm getting some interesting ones just at an individual level where a retail advisor will come to me as a destination expert and say, my client has come to me, typed this into ChatGPT or similar, asking about a 12-day luxury themed itinerary with this level of accommodation with a focus on fly fishing, golf and horse riding, and what it spits out, and they've able to give it to me before they've even had a conversation with their tour operator or wholesaler is quite incredible, right? And so it's just trying to see how will that be used in the future. And I know a lot of our partners, the consortia and things, are looking at ways they can use it. Yeah, we within TNZ are doing some trialing around some of our systems now as well. And yeah, we're having some really good think tank innovative conversations. It's yet to be, I haven't seen one example where it can go from woe to go and actually incorporate accommodation and activities and take the role of the travel advisor. But I think it's real supportive technology at this stage.
Yeah, I love the idea that you could go to a travel website and say, this is my age, this is who I'm traveling with, these are my interests, this is how long I've got, this is my budget. Can you give me some ideas? And rather than having to search through massive websites looking for options, that it's smart enough to say, well, this is perfect for you. You know, like it's, yeah, that could make a huge difference once that's nailed properly.
Yeah, I think, and it's not like it's not hugely in the distance. It's
No, it's
going, it's a
not.
re it is a reality. And
Yeah.
yeah, even just having a play at a personal level, it's quite fun, and just talking to it and getting it to change its tone and all of those sorts of things as well, to be really aligned with our storytelling and our brand and things, quite exciting.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so back to trends. Have you got any other tips for our New Zealand sellers?
Yeah, I scribbled down a couple of things so I didn't forget. But I think the first one's key. If you don't ask them how their bookings are, like where the bookings are coming from or maybe coming from and showing up at your business, and you just don't know. Don't feel like you need to get through the PowerPoint, which I touched on. I know you will get there, and it's very easy to feel like you have to talk at speed. Our North Americans, I have to remind myself, on my webinars, I have a big note on my screen, slow down and talk clearly. Because as New Zealanders in Australia, we get pretty excited and animated, and you want to ensure they're picking up as much of that conversation as possible. Utilize the networking functions to have meaningful new connections as well. Yes, you've got 15 minutes, and you can't have that with everyone, and your focus might be on North America, and you might have got your appointments and gone, I've only got X percent. Come to us. We have four of us coming down from North America. Know who we are. Come and find us at the networking function and say, I've been trying to find tour operator X. We've had some great early conversations. I don't have a meeting with them. Our job is to be a conduit in that space, right? We want to walk you across that room, introduce you. If that's a meaningful connection for us and for you and for them, then that's great for all of us. And we don't have the capacity to do that all day, every day with everyone, but that's something that we'd like to be able to do. Or lean on your colleagues or non-competing colleagues that you know have just been in market and are aware of this new big operator that's coming down, and you want to get your book of business there. Let them play that conduit or middleman as well. I touched on the trends criteria. It has been a little bit of a challenge here, just for our New Zealand partners, RTOs, suppliers, and everyone. Understanding that criteria, they do a great job in sending newsletters to market or coming into market and then saying to a retail advisor, are you coming to trends? And then retail advisors don't fit the trends criteria. So what they do is come knocking on my door and say,
Can I
why didn't I get
come?
in? I'm a gold specialist. Why didn't I get invited? And
Yeah.
we have to let them down lightly. It doesn't do us any favors that both FTE and ATE have a model where they bring their top specialists down. Trends
Right.
doesn't fit that criteria just yet. And so it creates a little bit of a hard conversation. So just be aware who you're communicating with pre and post trends, whether or not they can come to attend in the future.
Yeah.
Make the most of your meetings. Like, we know that we've got a lot of TNZ staff attending trends. That's not as a way for us to just go and make friends with the industry and have a drink with everyone. That's a chance for us to better educate you and talk to opportunities. So at the moment, I'm just wearing my North American hat, but we have trade partners from all over the world coming down. If you happen to have a meeting with them, take that 15 minutes, pick their brain. Ask everything you can. What are you seeing from the market? Who are the biggest bookers? How are they booking? How do I get in front of them? What are you seeing? Like, don't see that as a waste of time or a making up a number meeting. See that as an opportunity to say, how can we better partner with you to grow your business in that particular market?
Yeah, that's a great tip. And I like the way that you say, don't consider it a waste of an appointment, because I have to say, over all the years that I've been attending trends, some of my most valuable appointments have actually been with the TNZ crew, because you can do exactly that and you can find out about an entire market in 15 minutes, not 15 seconds, 15 minutes. And sometimes that can lead to bigger and better discussions and invites to webinars and trainings and all sorts of things. Like, there's so many different options in each of the markets that you guys play in. So yeah, definitely connect with the Tourism New Zealand crew at Trends and see what they have to say.
Yeah, we're here to help. We're here to make it easy for you. That is our job. Yeah, a couple of other little ones I had noted down was just have a compelling proposition, know who's selling the product, ensure they have information to be able to sell it easily. That includes rates. Don't come to trends and say, oh, I haven't thought about my rate schedule, or we're still working on it, or we haven't finalized this. That doesn't make it easy for them. They want a consistent offering. As we're going to start, like we're telling the story about shoulder seasons, make sure that your season doesn't start and stop. There's not a huge change in rates. I know hotels and stuff, it's getting a little bit more challenging. But the easier you make it for it to plug and play for them to be able to book that product, they need to understand what is that price, what is the net rate, or what is the commission, what is the time frame on that, and what product are they selling, and have a little bit of verbiage and maybe a great photo to be able to put that into an itinerary. If you can give those little simple touch points that make their job easy, they're going to be much more likely to want to continue to invest with you and your business.
Yeah. No, that's a really good tip. I mean, I think in any forms of business, it's the easier that we make it for people to partner with us, the better off you'll be in the long run. So yeah, good advice there. Well, Hayden, that wraps up all of my questions that I've got. We're basically bang on time. So well done, you know, because we normally chat a little bit longer than that. But we'll wrap it up here. And thanks so much for joining us. I know you're super busy at the moment preparing to come down for Trends in a couple of weeks' time. So it'll be great to catch up in person. And thank you for sharing all your knowledge of the North American market with our listeners.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been a wonderful opportunity. Hopefully they can take away some little tidbits to improve and have more informed appointments when they are at Trends. I look forward to seeing Wellington and Takina and showcasing the greater region. And I have the pleasure of then hosting an Indigenous-focused fan with retail advisors through Central North Island and East Coast that I can't wait to do as well.
Brilliant. That sounds awesome. Okay, well, enjoy your travels, safe travels down here, and we'll see you in Wellington.
Thanks so much. See you soon.
Have a good day.
Kakite.